The study this month has been on Elijah and Elisha, two prophets powerfully anointed of God to do miracles in the Old Testament. Elijah and Elisha, God's men of miracles. Now, before Elijah was taken up by God, he asked Elisha what he could do for him. This is in 2 Kings chapter 2, after they had crossed the Jordan River. Elijah said to Elisha, 2 Kings 2, verse 9, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" And Elisha, his spiritual son, responded, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Now, you've got to understand in the Old Testament, it comes from Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17, that if a man had sons, let's say he had two sons, he left the firstborn son a double portion of his estate. Double what the other son would get. So in essence, Elisha was saying to Elijah, in a way, he was asking to be the firstborn of his spiritual sons. And so, Elijah responded in verse 10 of 2 Kings 2. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." So we go on a few more verses. "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two." Jump down to verse 15. "The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, 'The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha.'" And Elisha was powerfully anointed by God. He received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. You can read of the miracles of Elijah in 1 Kings. You can read of the miracles that God performed through Elisha in 2 Kings. And tonight, we're going to talk about one of those amazing miracles that God performed through the life and the ministry of Elisha. So we're going to go over a chapter, a couple of chapters, to 2 Kings chapter 4. Tonight's message is Elisha and the widow's oil. 2 Kings 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And we're going to be looking at God's mighty miracle-working power through the ministry of Elisha for this widow woman. 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to exposit it scripture by scripture. "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.'" So this woman had two things going against her, according to verse 1 of 2 Kings 4. She was a widow. Her husband had died. And her deceased husband left her in debt. She was at the end of her rope. She was desperate. She was hopeless. She was afraid that the creditor would take her sons as slaves. And you got to understand, according to Mosaic law, if somebody was extremely poor and did not have the money to pay their debt, they would be sold into servitude and their labor would be used to pay that debt. So she was afraid that her two sons would be taken as slaves to pay the debt to the creditor. And so tonight you might be in a tough place like this woman. She was in a tough place in two different ways. She was a widow, right? Number one. And number two, her husband left her and the sons in financial debt. And maybe tonight you're in a tough place in your life financially. Maybe you've got more bills at the end of your month than you've got money to pay those bills. Maybe you've had an unexpected medical bill that's about to wipe your account out. And you're maybe afraid tonight, like the woman, this woman was. You might be thinking, man, I'm afraid I might have to file for bankruptcy. Just like this woman was afraid that the creditor would come to take her two boys as slaves. And maybe you're in a tough spot tonight. Humanly speaking, your situation seems impossible. But then God, our miracle-working God. Let me say it again. You're at a point of need in your life, but then God, our miracle-working God. When you're at your lowest, God steps in and is able to do a miracle in your life. What is a miracle? A miracle is this. I define a miracle this way. I define it as the supernatural power of God taking a humanly speaking impossible situation and making it possible again. A miracle is the supernatural power of God taking a humanly speaking irreversible situation and reversing it for the better in your life. A miracle is the supernatural power of God taking a humanly speaking irreconcilable relationship and reconciling it in your life. And so maybe tonight you're dealing with a broken relationship, somebody who has separated himself or herself from you, and you need a miracle from God. God can reconcile that broken relationship. He is the miracle working God. The miracle working God who worked miracles powerfully through the ministries of Elijah and Elisha and the life of Jesus over 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Israel is the same God present with us tonight by his Spirit. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who did miracles thousands of years ago through Elijah and Elisha and through the life of his son, Jesus Christ, when he walked the streets of Israel, is the same God who can do a miracle in your life starting tonight. Is that good news? Nothing is impossible with God. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe the doctors are saying that medically speaking, your diagnosis is terminal. They're saying maybe you might die in a year, but not for God. God is a divine surgeon. He can turn it around when human doctors cannot. Amen? So, verse 2 of 2 Kings 4. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" It was like God speaking through Elisha. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? So God is asking you tonight at the point of your need, how can I help you? How can I intervene in your situation? And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, talk to God, respond to God, pray to Him and say, God, this is my need tonight and I need you to intervene. And God, I know that you're able to do it in my life. Talk to God, pray to Him and let Him know what's going on. He wants you to communicate with Him as you would talk with your best friend. And she only had a small jar of olive oil. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Verse 2. Elisha said, he gave her orders here. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Another translation has empty vessels. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, into the vessels. And as each one is filled, put it to one side. As the other one is filled, put it to the side. As the third one is filled, put it to the side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. It's understood between verses 4 and 5. He gave her the command, right? He said, go inside and shut the door after you ask your neighbors for empty vessels. Shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each one is filled, put it to one side. And it's understood between verses 4 and 5 that she obeyed the word of the prophet Elisha. They collected these vessels from their neighbors, brought them into the house. Then she shut the door behind her and her sons. And God then moved miraculously in their lives. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. And the prophet told her to ask for not just a few vessels, but for many vessels from her neighbors. And they filled vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel until the very last vessel was filled with the oil that kept flowing from this little jar of olive oil. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Miraculously, God provided for this woman financially. She sold. It's understood that she sold the oil, paid her debts, and what was remaining was for her and her sons to live on. Now, I want to make a few observations tonight from 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. In verses 3 and 4, Elisha said to her, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each one is filled, put it to one side." You know, the prophet said to shut the door behind her and her sons. Why is that? He was probably saying that he wanted no interruption from maybe these well-meaning neighbors who lent them these vessels, right? Maybe some of those neighbors, had they been there in the room with the empty vessels, could have been, maybe some of them could have been naysayers, sowing doubt into her mind, into the minds of her sons. Like, "Man, you just got a little jar of olive oil and you're going to fill all these empty vessels? I don't think so." And so the prophet was pretty much saying, shut the door behind you and your sons. Let this be a private miracle between the Almighty God, you and your sons. No interruptions. Shut the door on the well-meaning neighbors, the naysayers who may try to enter and sow doubt into your mind. And it reminds me, you know, this account of shutting the door behind her and her sons reminds me of the account of Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. Remember Jairus' daughter who was dying. Mark 5:35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all of this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. The naysayers laughed at Jesus. And then it says this, after he put them all out. Sounds a lot like 2 Kings 4, right? She shut the door behind her and her sons. After Jesus put them all out, the naysayers out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Verse 41 of Mark 5. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. Friends, what's the application to us tonight? God wants to do a miracle in your life. But you've got to shut out the naysayers, the negative people, the pessimists, those who would try to sow seeds of doubt and uncertainty and fear into your mind. Like, can God really do this for you? The doctors are saying medically that it's irreversible. You got to shut them out. You've got to tune out the naysayers and tune in to the Word of God. You've got to tune out the negative media and you've got to start tuning into the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Nothing is impossible with God. You've got to shut out the naysayers. You've got to cut off the negative speakers, the pessimists, and listen to what God is telling you through His written word. If God said that He can do it for you, God will do it for you. Is that good news here tonight? Shut the door behind you and let God do that miracle in your life. Tune them out. Tune out the naysayers and tune into the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. Not once in a blue moon, but on a consistent basis. Read the Word of God. Read the Gospels and the miracles that Jesus performed when He walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. Read of the miracles that God wrought through the lives of Elijah and Elisha. Meditate and mull upon the Word of God and these miracles, and it will build up your faith. Tune out the naysayers and tune into the Word of God. Shut out the negative media and dive into and meditate upon the Word of God. Is that making sense here tonight? Another observation from 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. She had faith. This woman had faith, because it says in verse 1, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord." She cried out to him. It's like she knew that she was in the presence of one of God's miracle men. She just knew that she knew deep down on the inside that she was in the presence of Elisha, who was highly anointed by God to do God's works, to perform miracles. She had faith. She just knew that God could do a miracle for her through the life and the ministry of Elisha. And you've got to have faith, friends. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, she who comes to God, must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. You've got to have faith on the inside like this woman had. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside, beyond the shadow of any doubts, that if God promised you a miracle, if God told you that He would reverse the humanly speaking irreversible situation in your life, that God will do it. You've got to believe it. You've got to know it. You've got to keep on keeping on, persevering in your faith. You've got to have faith if you want to see this miracle working power of God come into your life. And finally, what did the woman have? Another observation, a final observation. She added obedience, a work, to her faith. What did the prophet tell her to do? He said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, empty vessels, verse 3. Don't ask for just a few. In other words, ask for many. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And if each one is filled, put it to one side. And it's understood between verses 4 and 5, like I said, that this woman obeyed the orders of the prophet Elisha. She left him. It's understood that she collected the vessels from her neighbors and shut the door behind her and her sons. She put action to her faith. She did something with her faith. Now, James in his epistle, awesome epistle, I love it. 5 chapters long. What does James write? What does James write in James chapter 2? He says, faith by itself, verse 17, James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is a dead faith. It's a useless faith. It is a futile faith. But faith with works, with action, is a living faith. It's an alive faith. It's a useful faith. It's a faith which produces results. And this woman had action that she put to her faith. Faith without obedience is dead, it's futile, it's useless. But faith with obedience is alive, useful, producing the results God wants to produce in your life. Is that making sense here tonight? You can believe in God, and God wants you to believe, and God wants you to have faith that He can turn your situation around. God wants you to know that you know deep down on the inside that He can do a miracle in your life. But what is God asking you to do? He's asking you to do something in conjunction with your faith in Him. And you need to do what God is telling you to do, because faith without works, faith without obedience is a dead faith, a useless faith, a futile faith. What is God asking you to do personally? What is God asking you to do personally? Maybe you believe in God to bring in more finances so that this way you can rent an apartment or pay this bill. And you're like, I'm just believing that God is going to bring these finances into my life. But could it be that God is telling you to do something in order to see His miracle working power go into effect in your life? Could it be that God is saying that you've got to be faithful? You've got to fill out job applications with company after company. You need to set up interviews and interview with potential employer after employer. You need to be faithful to the employer that you land the job with. If he's told you to come in at 9 o'clock, come in at 8:45. Show that you're reliable, that you're faithful, you're trustworthy. If he says you've got to leave at 4 o'clock, then leave at 4:15. Is God telling you that you've got to do something? I bet He is. You know, He's saying, you know, you can have faith in me and I will do the miraculous in your life, but you've got to do some of the things I'm asking you to do. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be loyal. You've got to be trustworthy. You've got to be filling out those job applications. You've got to be interviewing. And then I'll tell you, you might see, I shouldn't say you might see, you will see the miracle working power of God go into effect in your life. Faith without obedience is dead, but faith with obedience to what God is telling you to do is a living faith, an active faith, a faith that produces God's wonderful results in your life. Maybe you've got a diabetic condition, and the doctors are saying, medically, there's nothing we can do to reverse your diabetes. But God says, I can. And you must believe that God can heal your body. But is it possible that God is telling you to do something in order to turn around that negative medical diagnosis? Could it be that God is telling you, you've got to change your diet. You've got to cut out the sugars. You've got to cut out that cholesterol. You need to exercise on a consistent basis. He says, when you do something in the natural, obeying what God is telling you to do in the natural, that then the supernatural power of God can go into effect in your life. Is that making sense here tonight? It works in so many different areas of our life. And this lady, this widow woman who lost her husband, acted upon what the prophet Elisha told her to do. She collected those jars from her neighbors, those vessels from her neighbors. She brought them into the house. She shut the door behind her and her sons, and God's miracle-working power went into effect in her life. God is no respecter of persons. If God did it for her, God can do it for you. Amen?
Amen.
The greatest miracle of all is this. The greatest miracle of all is this. Is the miracle of salvation. God taking your empty vessel of spiritual death and filling it by faith in Jesus, but filling it with spiritual life, rebirth, eternal life, friends. As I said earlier, you may have empty vessels in your life. Maybe it's an empty financial vessel, and God can fill it. Maybe you have an empty vessel in your health. You're sick. God can fill it and give you health. Maybe you have an empty vessel relationally, relationship-wise, and God can fill it and reconcile that broken relationship. But the greatest miracle in the Word of God is taking your spiritually empty vessel, if you're spiritually empty tonight, giving it to God, putting faith in Jesus Christ and watching God fill it with spiritual life, rebirth, giving you the gift of eternal life. Amen? I'm going to read you one last thing here tonight from the speaker's quote book. And it says this. Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth millions. That's capital. Uncle Sam can take gold, stamp an eagle on it, and make it worth dollars. That's money. A craftsman can take material that's worth only $5 and make an article worth $50. That's skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. But God, and only God, can take a life sinful and without joy, wash it in the blood of Christ, put His Spirit in it, and make it a blessing to humanity. That's salvation. And I would say that's the miracle of salvation. Amen?
Amen?
The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. And maybe tonight your spiritual vessel is empty. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Tonight God wants to fill you with His Spirit by faith in Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you want to do so for the first time, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Or maybe at one time, you followed Jesus, but you've slipped away. You got upset with God. You got upset with somebody. You've slipped away, and now your spiritual vessel is empty again. God wants to refill you tonight. You can re-give your life to Jesus. He wants to fill you up again with spiritual life. The greatest miracle of all. He wants to fill you up. So if you've slipped away from God, slipped away from Jesus, but tonight you want to re-give your life back to Him, you want to recommit your life back to Jesus, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else in the room here tonight? Feel like you need a spiritual filling for that spiritually empty vessel. Anybody else want to follow this man's lead? See that hand out there. Anybody else? Stand up, sir. Stand up. I see that other hand back there. Stand up, sir. Don't be afraid. Stand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead here tonight? Giving your spiritually empty vessel over to God and having Him fill it with spiritual life and vitality again by faith in Jesus, by re-giving your life to Jesus. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with Jesus? If you don't know, you need to know. You need to make for sure, because the next 30 minutes is not guaranteed any one of us. Anybody else want to follow their lead here tonight? Doesn't matter what somebody next to you, behind you is thinking, only what God thinks about you matters. In the next 5 minutes, they'll forget. Anybody else, if God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, right, telling you, you've got to re-give your life to my Son, Jesus Christ, don't ignore the voice of the Spirit. Listen to what He's telling you to do. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Those standing up, come forward. Come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. All right. Those who stood up tonight, came forward tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank You that You died upon the cross for my sins. I followed You at one time, but I've slipped away. I've sinned and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going Your way only. Jesus, again, be my Savior and my Lord. Give me the strength to follow You the rest of my life here on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing You face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Give me a hand here tonight. The angels tonight in heaven are rejoicing over this decision that your people made. They're rejoicing in heaven. And some of the ways to remain close to Christ on this earth is to be getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis. To be praying to God, communicating with God on a consistent basis. Finding good, solid Christian friends and attending these church services. Amen. May God richly bless you. Have a blessed and happy Memorial Day. A restful day tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
You guys are dismissed. Which brother, this brother here, you want to come up and dismiss? Come on up.
Are you guys giving up the rest of the time to take over time?